We have been studying in the book of Acts the message which the Apostle Paul preached in the synagogue in Antioch and Pisidia. And that situation is one that we can all understand fairly well when you consider that Paul himself was a Jew and was preaching to the Jews and telling them that the God in whom they trusted, who had watched over them throughout all their history, in whom they were putting their confidence now, that this God had sent to them his Son, Jesus of Nazareth, and that even though the Lord Jesus Christ had been rejected by the people of his time and in his place, and even though he had been crucified and had been buried, God had raised him from the dead, and now that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and glorified in the very presence of God, he was sending forth the Holy Spirit into the hearts of those that believed, and so God was continuing his grace and mercy toward his people. And in this long address, which we have been studying in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, we find that the Apostle Paul, standing in the synagogue, has reminded the Jews, it was God who called Abraham, it was God who called the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt to bring them into the land of Canaan, it was God who helped them to go in, it was God who opened the way before them and gave them the victory over their enemies so that they conquered the land, it was God who watched over them as they ruled in that land and gave them judges for a period of 450 years. And when they insisted on having a king, it was God that gave them a king. And God gave them not only a king, but he gave them a promise through David that he would one day raise up a king who would rule forever. And then he claimed that this one, whom had been promised in the covenant with David, that this one actually was Jesus of Nazareth. And so he is preaching to these people that the same God who has been with them all the time is still active, and he has sent Jesus Christ unto them. And this Lord Jesus Christ, now raised from the dead and in the presence of God, has shed forth his Holy Spirit. And right at the moment that Paul was preaching, the Holy Spirit was available to anybody who would receive him. And the same God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, the same God who brought them across the desert, the same God who took them into the land of Canaan, had watched over them all through these years, this same God was now ready to give them the Holy Spirit and to live in them and to work in them that which he would will and which would please him. In other words, that this was all part of God's overall ruling, saving purpose. And that they, as all the way along in all the things that God did, required on the part of man a response. It's true that God called Abraham out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees, but the truth was also Abraham had to obey and come. It's true that God called the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but Moses had to lead them and the people had to respond and come. It's true that God brought them across the desert, but the people needed to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, trusting in God. It's true that God brought them into the land of Canaan and destroyed the nations before them, but the children of Israel were needed to come in obedience to his call and exercise themselves in fighting with those people in the land of Canaan, and God would give them a victory. Now, it's true that God gave them judges that would rule over them by the space of 450 years, but it was also true that the children of Israel needed to respond to those judges. It's true that God gave them the King David, and that God gave them the promise unto David that he would one day send a king who would rule over them all. But the truth is, they were to respond to him. And so Paul is urging to them, all through history, God has initiated goodwill, grace, and mercy toward you. One time after another, God has done things on your behalf. Every time God undertook to do something, the people of that day and time needed to respond. They needed to believe in God, and you folks need to believe in God. And so he brought it right up to them right there before them and said, God is right now willing to send the Holy Spirit into your hearts that will activate in you the will of God, and you can actually share in the salvation which Jesus Christ has provided in his own death and resurrection and glorification. So it can actually operate in you when the Holy Spirit in you will lead you to deny yourself and thus experience death and self-crucifixion, He will raise you from the dead in regeneration. He will dwell in you to guide you and lead you, and will eventually bring you home to himself. This was the kind of thing that they preached, and it required on the part of the Jewish people a response. And that's what it does to our day and time. Let us keep in mind that while you and I may preach the gospel to anybody, we teach it to our children, we tell anybody, God will save you. We never mean to say that he will save you if you have your back turned to him. We're not saying he will save you if you say no. We're saying he will save you as you respond to him and yield to him. But you have that call before you to respond to him. And this is the way he preached. So now we come down in chapter 13. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 13, to verse 38, where you can feel what Paul is driving at. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Now you can have it. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You can actually have the blessing of God. You can have the life of God in your soul, just as sure as I am speaking to you. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of by the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. This was an Old Testament prophecy and prediction, and Paul is saying, be careful it doesn't happen to you right now. And we would say that to this day. The Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And what we have to be careful about for every single one of us is that we do not fall into the place where we're actually fulfilling that scripture. Because if any one of us were to let him go by, if any one of us were to ignore the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be right in there with the group to whom he came unto his own, but his own received him not, something that would disqualify us in the presence of God for his further blessing, I'm sure. Now, the children of Israel were in the danger of missing their great opportunity. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to them in fulfillment of Old Testament predictions and prophecy, and now there he was, able to do for them everything that God had promised, but it would require, on their part, the one thing, believing obedience or obedient faith. They needed to believe in him, yield to him, and let him have his way in them. As sure as they would do that, the blessing of God would come upon them. And this is the way he preached, and he urged them not to miss it. Verse 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking unto them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Word had gone out that these men would now preach to the Gentiles. And so when they were going out to preach to the Gentiles, there was a great congregation and a great crowd of people responding. Now verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And immediately your heart gets sad. How often this happens. Right about the time you see the results of the long work you've done on behalf of the gospel, right about then a thing like this can occur. Someone can actually take offense because it is not their own business. In other words, these Jewish people felt that they were the only ones, apparently, that knew the truth of God. And here comes a man that not only tells it out loud so that everyone can hear it, but he actually opens the door, so to speak, for anyone to come in. And the Jews didn't appreciate it. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they saw the response that Paul was getting, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. You know that much of what they had to say would be put in the form of argument, but their argument was unsound and was improperly based. They weren't really opposed to what Paul was preaching. They just didn't want to see Paul so popular. They didn't want to see him gain such a hold upon the people. But when this happened, in verse 46 we read, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it away from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Here is a principle we need to remember. The matter of staying at with certain people on and on and on and on and on to the exclusion of others is not in the way in which it goes in Scripture. Naturally, you will have people with whom you will deal all the time. People that belong to you. People that you have in your heart and mind you'll never get away from. But so far as the public as a whole is concerned, you can afford to take note of the way in which these people are thinking about things and the way you're thinking about them. Just take note of those things. And have this in mind, that if people will not listen and they will not accept the gospel, there's no reason why you ought to stay there talking to them and putting in your time with them when someone else would be willing to believe. And that's what they're told here. And Paul and Barnabas says, seeing that you count yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And that's the way Paul put it. That was his business. Now verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It means to say that the Gentiles were glad to think that the gospel was going to be preached to them, and as many as hearts were open, as many of those who were actually willing to take this seriously in a spiritual way, found that they were reconciled to God and received from him eternal life. And the word of God was published throughout all the region. It gave an opening to the preaching. But the Jews and stirred up the devout and honorable women and the devout men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. And so we read that they shook off the dust of their feet against them, came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's the way the story goes through the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And in it you find the presentation to the world of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel to the people who know, namely, God actually wants to bless us through Christ Jesus. God really does want to bless one and all of us through Christ Jesus. But if you don't come to him, you, of course, can't come to God. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us as we give the gospel testimony out to make it clear to people that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We pray thee to make us strong in faith, giving glory to God, and let our testimony be useful in the hearts and minds of others. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.